Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower, and I'm here with the Watchman, and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And you can find Warn Radio on usa.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Pure Social, Spreely, and Linktree. You can listen to our shows on warn-usa.com and also danaglennsmith.com, where you can download and pass them on to your friends. And you can find Warn Radio on the following website streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And please be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a good comment on the shows where you've heard us. And do not miss these posts on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. American Prophecy Dead to Rights. American Prophecy Dead to Rights. You can be sure that there are enemies of our nation who are among us. The fruits of their labors shall find them wanting, even if they succeed to destroy America. They shall thus destroy themselves. And Christian faith versus fiction or failure. Many times it can be our Christian faith versus our frailties, fiction, and finally failure. Frailties of our own making by our own hand has made society its own worst enemy. Also, enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Even in America today, the tide of immorality floods the nations of men. In addition, the rise of Christian persecution brings to forefront the Gospels which warned us that the world would hate the cross and the Christians who follow Jesus Christ. And last but not least, faith believing unseen. Believers in Jesus Christ, having not seen him, there are many such Christians having never seen him, but they believe. Thus, believers and believing, blessed are you who have believed, yet not seen Christ. And the latest post on warn-usa.com is Christian persecution. Christian persecution of Christian believers is never far away. Despite this persecution, we find the miraculous occurring, and today we have the stories of the Lord moving in the lives of believers and unbelievers. And on Dana Glenn Smith, Steal the Darkness Conspiracy Behind the Conspiracy. Steal the Darkness is the ground floor of the secretive move to destroy America. Published in 2017, it details this event. Book 2, The Rising, takes this further and is due out in late 2021. Go to warn-usa.com to sign up. No, I'm sorry. To get the Warn News Radio newsletter, go to danaglennsmith.com, where you can sign up for the newsletter and also visit our resource and Christian bookstores, where we feature Christian books and other resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, doing good. Guess what? It's cool.
I'm glad. Thank the Lord. It's nice to have a reprieve from the hot weather.
I was watching a video that was posted by a guy, real popular, has a radio show from Kandahar.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe Kabul, wherever they're at over there. And they had the British paratroopers, or whatever they were over there, special forces. And they were on the other side of a wired fence. And some they were all along the fence. I don't know where the Taliban was. But they were handing their babies over the fence to keep the babies away from them. So they were going to stay, and their babies were going to go wherever the good guys can take them.
Just to keep them out of the hands of the
Taliban.
Yeah, that's sad that they have to separate them.
It's a gut-wrenching situation over there. And for Biden to be as dip-witted that he is about it is just unconscionable.
Yes, I agree.
And so it's... You know, today I was listening to another thing, and they were talking about Joe Biden. Maybe you were reading it to me about him being really a disaster to be with, that he is totally unpredictable.
No, I didn't read that to you.
Well, at any rate...
Yeah, I believe it.
They were saying, you know, they were quoting Obama. Obama said this, and I... He said, don't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to screw things up. Well, he came out and said he's not worthy to be president. He can't be a president.
That was even before he started running. He said he's not.
But since you're going to run, Joe, we're going to put some people in with you to help you so we can get our agenda. So Joe's working... Obama probably don't want to be reminded what he said. But at any rate, there's a lot of that stuff on the media. And, you know, it just there's just absolutely no excuse for America at all to leave Americans. Some of them are estimating up to 40,000 Americans are there.
That's horrible. That is unconscionable. And the British are going in there working 24/7 getting their people out.
And so I don't know where we're at. And Joe Biden, they came out today and said they managed to get some people out, but it's not no 40,000. I think it was 1,800, they said. I'm not sure of that.
Well, that's not very many compared to what's in there.
Well, the whole thing was a fiasco, so...
Yes, it's a disaster.
Oh, Joe just thinks he can... Well, and he didn't talk to, you know, the UK to even coordinate with him on anything. It was totally, you know... What Joe did was give his little speech and told his people to get him out of there and went about his own business on his vacation. Talk about a lackadaisical nincompoop. I mean, just going away while you've got all them Americans. Never before in my memory that, you know, and being a vet, you never leave an American behind. That's the code of the Marines, the code of the Navy. I was a Navyman. I was in the Signal Corps. That's the code. If you're all, you know, if one of you were alive, then you help the others, and you also drag the dead ones with you. I mean, if you can. I mean, you don't leave them behind. And to have a thing like what we had go on with Joe Biden, number one, you can tell he wasn't ever a vet. You can tell his family didn't have any vets in it. And you can tell that most of them liberal dipwits that he's got up there don't seem to give one whit about the military or anybody else, let alone the other Americans that are left behind. So make no mistake, this is one of the biggest screw-ups of any president in history that I can recall. I mean, and you can say, well, you're being emotional. No, I'm not. This is the truth. This is the absolute God's truth, and there's going to be some blood required of this from Joe Biden, because I was posting this around some of my blood guilt stuff that I've been doing for years and years. Make no mistake about it. Blood getting spilt over there because of Biden's mismanagement is going to be required at his hands and the hands of those that were in charge. That is Lord Sabaoth, that the Lord over all agencies, which is Yahshua is. So make no mistake, this is no game. They get away with it, and he can shoot off his mouth, and he can sit on his butt and be confused, and they can make jokes about it. But even the liberal media have had it with him.
Yep.
I find it kind of humorous because CNN is absolutely exasperated with him. They said, you haven't told the truth since you got in. In one post that I had seen, they were, you know, I mean, and I don't listen to anything CNN says. But, you know, since Biden's been in, there's been a lot of those that have been, you know, kind of changed their tune, just like that comedian, Bill Maher. I don't usually agree with him on anything, but he's been talking about everything the Democrats that Biden has been doing.
Yeah.
And I found myself agreeing with him I don't know how many times. It's just like, wow, this is weird.
Yes, it is.
So at any rate...
And even Geraldo.
Yeah.
He came out, and he's pretty liberal, and... So I was kind of surprised that he really dissed on the president.
Well,
or on Joe. I don't like to call him president because I don't think he's worthy of that title.
Well, the thing of it is, it's not dissing, okay? You know, when you diss and you just literally try to find problems. The issues with Joe Biden is his policies have almost destroyed America. And see, this is the problem with the way we have it. You can put a president up there, and just by a stroke of his pen, he can do something that the rest of the majority of Americans oppose. Now, Obama did it, Trump did it, and Biden did it. Now, we need to fix it to where these presidents can't just sign something and change everything there is and screw up, throw people out of work and everything just because somebody's a Democrat or somebody else is a Republican. You know, and you want to know how come we're divided? It's because we got culture wars up there now. We got all these people. Joe Biden chose the absolute worst of everything. I mean, total opposite. People that have never been in charge of any kind of a government before. And people like Miley, the General Miley, who was horrified at the white rage. And this guy's a nincompoop, white rage. I mean, for a general, he's out of it.
Yeah.
I can tell you, if you worried about white rage, General Miley, you should have been at boot camp with me. And some of them dudes in charge, there were white ones and there was black ones, but both of them, it didn't make the color. They had plenty of rage. And when you did something wrong at boot camp, you got that number 12 or whatever they were wearing up your butt. And if that wasn't enough, you end up doing like 200 to 300 sit-ups or push-ups or whatever they felt like you were doing. By the time you got done, you couldn't even crawl off the grounds. Yeah. Tell me about white rage, you bunch of knuckleheads. But see, people get sick of this. People are tired of this fiasco and stupidity going on. They're tired of people. The liberal governor's doing one thing, and then you have the conservatives doing the other. The nation is divided, you know, and then you've got the COVID thing, and you got the coronavirus, and there are some major issues that's wrong here with those things. And I've been doing research, and I've been watching from top-rated people that have been in there, and they have created vaccines and programs for years and years and years and years, and one in particular. And his first name is Gert, G-E-R-R-T, but that'll give you a hint who he is.
That was a good explanation on that last night.
Yeah, it was. And so guess what came out today? The news came out today saying that, in fact, that the people who had the coronavirus, the first vaccine, are more susceptible to all the other variants, and they're also spreading a lot more germs.
Wow.
Just like Gert was saying last night when he was talking about what you're doing. And, and that one nurse, she came out and said that everybody, on her floor that was sick with COVID, every one of them were someone that had the COVID-19 shot.
That had been vaccinated.
Abbott, the governor of Texas, he has COVID.
Was he vaccinated?
Yeah. He took the vaccination and he's got it.
Well, I just read somewhere where several people tested positive from some place and they had the vaccines and now they're testing positive for COVID.
Well, that's what they're saying. And that's what Gert was saying last night. And he says you keep... Well, at any rate, I'm not going to go through that.
Yeah, we need to.
We're going to move on. I got to get on this. We're on 102, part 102.
Yes, part 102.
So I'm going to do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. So this one is Ominous Babylon, Prophetic Book 102. And we were in Isaiah 38:18. And, of course, in these three verses, 16, 17, 18, and the few before that, Hezekiah was going through kind of like a psalm about his experience at almost dying. And, if you almost die... If you have a near-death experience, there's a lot of people that have a tendency to wake up. It makes you think. Because all of a sudden, you're gone. You're out of your body, and that's it. And having watched all my family die, except for my dad, which I regret, I watch people die. And sometimes it can take a long time. And they're unresponsive. But you talk to them anyway. And even the nurses feel that they can hear you, even though they can't talk. So at any rate, so much with death and dying. So we're on... And, of course, Hezekiah found out what it was like to live, thank God. And so in verse 19, he continues with this. We've only got a couple of verses, then we're going to be in chapter 39. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. One generation of the living to another, the father shall have a deep sense of the goodness of God. Well, why? Because... He's been around, he's lived by faith, and even in the Old Testament, they live by faith. And, there is a psalm, a prayer in there. And I didn't put this in here, but I believe it was written by David, talking about, "Oh Lord, in my old age, allow me to continue to give thy word and show your goodness," and I'm kind of summarizing it, showing your goodness and your mercy to the younger generation to see your power. In other words, the older generation is passing on, but he wants to live long enough to be able to show the younger generation how God is faithful, to get them and encourage them to trust the Lord. And when you read this, you can get that sense, the living, he shall praise thee. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. And that's speaking of the same thing. The thing I was referring to literally is a psalm, and it breaks it down even more. In verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. I mean, don't you love it? I mean, as believers we're in the new covenant, you know, churches are known when they get together to praise the Lord. But there was praising done in the Old Testament in the temple. And a lot of our psalms are songs. They were sung or spoken to stringed instruments. And here Hezekiah is bringing that up. Because there was time he wasn't doing too good. You wouldn't be either, you know, because the problem with having a near-death experience, you really go through the death part. I mean, and then you don't quite make the journey and you come back, but you're still, you know, I mean, it's, you're dealing with death. You face death. And, you know, I think this generation don't quite understand. And then there's a lot of kids that get romanced into death by the devil. Satanism really does get into a lot of this kind of stuff. And we don't understand it. But the thing of it is, you only have so many years to live. And now that Hezekiah, who thought for sure he was going to die, he was hoping the Lord would hear him. And he did. But the Lord always moves in his time, which means you're going to go through things. You know, I mean, Paul even tells us, through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. You know, we can pray for the sick and they can be healed. It doesn't mean they're going to be healed instantly. Some people are, some people aren't. You have, you know, the effects in your body, and you speak to it and you pray and you rebuke it and you seek the Lord to remove it. And you're going through this and you have time for faith and for fear. And you go through all these human emotions because that's what you are. You're a weak vessel, but yet as the body is weak, the spirit is strong. And so this is the battle of faith, and it's also the battle of life. And that's what Hezekiah faced. And when I stood there, when I watched my family, various members of my family who died, the first one, long before these, was my cousin who died. We were good friends, very close. And he died. And so death is permanent. And so today, as we're studying this, and last week we had a chance to talk about death, you know, the thing that you get out of death is life. And as Paul said, that if I had faith in Jesus, if I just had Jesus for this life only, I would be of all men most miserable. And he speaks that And that, again, is a paraphrase. Of all men most miserable, referring to the fact that if he just had the faith of Christ just for this temporal life and not in the afterlife. See, the whole point of Christ is the afterlife. It's what comes. You know, you sit down and you listen to Revelation from start to finish. And I do that a lot. And when you get to the end of it, you begin to realize that life that God had intended for us. And so God had mercy on him. Verse 21, for Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. You know, it's just like if you use comfrey. We've got comfrey growing out here. Got two big, huge batches. It's good for a lot of things. But it's really good for removing infections out of your leg or various other parts. And you know, you get it wet, you kind of break it up, and you lay it on there. You want to break it up to get the properties out, get water in it, make a plaster. You know, you kind of bring it together, and you lay it right on there. And so they would take these figs, and they just wouldn't take them, you know, just lay them on there. They would prepare it. And the word here denotes properly to rub or bruise or crush by rubbing them, and then to rub it in to anoint or soften. And they were to lay them softened, you know, kind of crushed, softened on the ulcer. But the thing that with this miracle, it does mean that there was a legitimate miracle that he got healed, because just putting the figs on it wouldn't be enough. There was a miracle involved here where he was literally healed. And that's where in verse 22, he also refers back to something we already covered. Hezekiah also said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? And that's where the shadow on the clock that they had prepared. They didn't have clocks. They had a certain, like a sundial thing, that moved back so many notches. And that showed him that was a miracle, that he was healed. He could then go up to the house of the Lord. But when you face something that is death itself, when you talk about cancer, you know, almost anybody that gets cancer feels they've got a death sentence. And we know now, and we also know, like for people who have Alzheimer's and various other diseases that were absolutely incurable, we know they're not incurable anymore. True story. And it has to do with your foods and what you eat and a number of other things. And now there's a number of doctors that have proven this. And one of the ones who we talk about is Dr. Gundry, who has a couple of different big centers for disease. And there's things that they're curing today that we could never cure. And associated with this is our diet. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting that Hezekiah just had a simple thing like figs to lay on that, but also there was that power of the Lord in there to bring him absolute healing now, as well as bringing that sign of the sun moving backward so many steps on that dial. So now we're done with that. And we come to chapter 39. And in chapter 39, we have an ominous message in this book. You find here Hezekiah gets envoys from Babylon. And verse 1, it says, at that time, Merodach-Baladan, it's kind of interesting, Baladan, because that name spelled a little different. I've heard of that in modern times. But Merodach-Baladan, it's one word, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and presents and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Now, it's not that I'm overly suspicious, but if I was Hezekiah, and I just got done with a near escape from Assyria, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, I have Babylon wanting to send me something, congratulations, and send me envoys, I would wonder what they're up to. I mean, that's me. But you see, the thing of it is, you could look at it that, wow, you know, I got somebody that's really going to pay attention to us now. And so Baladan, or Merodach, was in Jeremiah 50 and verse 2, he talks about the Babylonian god. So it's Merodach. And it's not unusual to put, you know, the name of your god within your own name. He was the son of Baladan, king of Babylon. So there's the power. You have the name of your god in your own name in identification. So that gives you special association and anointing with this so-called god. Well, look at the children of Israel, you know, Jehovah, Yahweh. He was known as the God of Israel. You know, that was a phrase connecting Israel with him. And he identified very much with Israel. And there was a covenant, and he considered himself married to them. You know, they were together in that sense of a God and his those who honored him. So it's not unusual to have that kind of association. Now, this particular king is mentioned frequently in the Assyrian inscriptions. He had a couple of different reigns in Babylon. And so he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. Now, there's a lot of things that people get out of this. Number one, why would he get this envoy, you know, the envoys from Babylon? Was God going to try him to know what was in his heart? Well, what Hezekiah ended up doing, and you get this in, let me go down here, in Isaiah 39:2, and it says, Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Now see, I guess I'm just in a different venue here, because living in our day and age, I would never show anybody like that around certain things. None of their business. I ain't going to show you. You don't need to know. I live in America. I've been around for a lot of time. And no, I don't trust everybody. And like David said, he was hurt in the house of his friends. The Lord was put on the cross by the Romans, but they were induced to do so by the Jews. And they wanted him to get it done in time so they wouldn't be defiled, so they could take care of the special Sabbath day they were going to have. So, yeah, their own friends. The Lord even had to stay out of Jewry for a while in order to keep away from them. So, this tells you. He even says in the New Testament, beware of men, for they shall deliver you up. So here's a little hint here. We're in the end of days. Don't trust anybody. Just like we were talking about this guy who had made the news because he was, I think it was New York City, and he was in an ATM. And some guy came in and he didn't turn around to look and see who it was. And so he went ahead to get his money out. You never do that. You never go to the ATM alone. You don't do it at night, especially in a big city. And if you go in by yourself, have something to defend yourself with. Because the guy, he didn't even turn around. Now, the first avenue in self-defense is always be aware. Now, Tower and I have had some Krav Maga, the Jewish defense stuff. And that was fun. But the one thing they tell you, be aware of your surroundings. And he wasn't. So, well, at any rate, you get to this. And apparently, you know, this didn't bother him, you know. Well, I'm going to go ahead. Well, you got all of this stuff going on. Do you really want to show this huge, you know, these envoys, everything, including your armory? That's not smart. You know, they're sizing you up to see if you're worth to destroy. That's basically what Babylon's going to do, and they really do it. Babylon really does go in there. Babylon does take them because Israel refuses to repent. Here's Judah. So in 2 Chronicles 32:31, it says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, and God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Now that's where we don't find out in Isaiah's portion, but we find out in 2 Chronicles that God had arranged this, let it go ahead to see what was in Hezekiah's heart. You know, and I brought this up, and God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Well, he's not rebuking or chastening him, but see, even David said, search my heart, try my heart. Now, you don't say that unless you really mean it, because God will do it. And in order to search your heart and try you, he sends you through testing, and you may not like that. I mean, there's enough troubles in society without saying, okay, God, I think you need to throw me through something even worse. But thank God that the Lord is a righteous God. Now, you go into 2 Kings 20, 12 through 21. This is the other section where you're going to find this story. At that time, Beredak Baladan. Now the other one has a B. This has an M. This has a B. The son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and presents unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things. And we read that before. In verse 14, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and we'll cover that later on too, and said, What said these men, and from whence came they? And Hezekiah said, they have come from a far country, even from Babylon. And so he goes ahead and asks him, and I'm going to read that when we get to it. I don't want to read this, but 2 Kings 20, 12 through 21 is the section from Kings in this. And 2 Chronicles 32, in this particular one, verse 31, tells you that the Lord had done this to try Hezekiah to see what was in his heart. Because, see, Hezekiah had had a close call with Assyria, and God delivered him. He had had a close call with death, and God delivered him. Not only was he healed, but he got a miracle. On the sundial, or the measurements that they had, the sun went backward. I think it was 7 steps. True miracle. Him being healed. The whole thing is associated with miracles. And so, you know, I always say that when you have things like that happen, you know, there's always testing. There's always a test. You know, when I was in college, there was always tests. And then there was big tests. Like my Life of Christ teacher, and when he gave you a test, Dr. Ward Williams, well, that test was like 500 questions or more. So, when you look at all of this, there's always a test around. And God wanted to find out what was in his heart. I mean, he had all these things going on. We found out. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them all. The silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor. That's your armory. That's where all the weapons are. And all that was found in his treasures. I mean, why would you do that? You don't even know these people. Babylon has a huge army. Babylon had a... These were people you didn't mess with. Well, just because they sent you a nice letter and made you feel good. I mean, you know, today we have emails, so some guy sends you a great email. We get them all the time. You know, and it comes from some official name of somebody that's an official that overlooks treasuries or monies or something, and they found that you've got a great amount of money coming, and or they have someone that has... wanted them to contact you to donate money to you, to your cause, and do all this. I mean, all the time. They're come on. So when you answer it, you get back, they have to collect your information to find out who you are. And when they get your information in order to verify it, you've just given them information to hack everything you have and take your money. So the email scams are some of the biggest scams on earth. Email scams, the email and the servers are one of the hardest hit things we have today. They can do it. And even Microsoft, they're working on a lot of things to button things up. So this is the way it is today. You can't just trust everybody. So it's hard to understand. Why did you do that? And there's one reason. And that is a pride. You know, and we're human. The other response is, what else would we be? We're human. And we have foibles. We're not perfect. When things go really good and you have a victory and you get over it, man, you're really happy. And so somehow when they came there, he got happy and pride entered in. And And I've been in some of these situations, accused of it. When that wasn't the way I was feeling, but that's what I thought I was feeling. Not me, but that's what they thought. And I don't want to go into the situation, but basically, here's a guy that was a prophet who accused me of something. It wasn't true. That I wasn't thinking that at all. But see, these are the way these things are. Now here, when we look at this, this is Isaiah's take. Isaiah is a man. He's a prophet. When the anointing is on him, he gives to whoever he's sent what God says. There's no room for him to lie or make anything up, because he will die if he does. But see, Hezekiah didn't have that kind of anointing. He was a leader. See, there is a difference in the direct revelation here. Even the main priest, the chief priest, doesn't have the anointing of the prophet. And we're talking the Old Testament prophets, because they were the one to bring the direct revelation from God to the prophet, to the king. I mean, to the priest and to the king, to the people. Now see, we've got so-called prophets today, and we have those who prophesy, and we have the Spirit of God. But see, in the old days, you know, a prophet, they could get in trouble. Prophets died, you know, in the Old Testament, that were prophets and went around and they did it wrong. So one opposed Jeremiah and wound up getting killed by a lion. So you don't want to mess around here. And so in 2 Chronicles 32, 27 through 30, there's another little section that describes what this verse is. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. So this is where your pride can come in. He made himself treasures for silver, for gold, for precious stone, for spices, for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Wow, that he had a lot. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. COTES. Moreover, he provided them cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. And this same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon, and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all of his works. Now see, there's nothing wrong with prospering. There's nothing wrong with Hezekiah being blessed. God blessed him. But the Lord God wanted to make sure that it wasn't lifting up his heart. And so when Isaiah came, in verse 3, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And he said, they come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. And see, he could have done anything. He didn't need to show him all this stuff, but he did. So that's where the pride comes through. He wanted to show him all of his substance. You don't want to do that. That's, you know, it's like opening up your house and showing people that you don't know your precious coins and everything. You don't know who they are. It's why you got to be careful with your family. You know, your daughters and your son and your wife and your home. You got to be careful. You got to make sure you know people, and especially today in America. You know, just like that one guy I was telling you about that went into the ATM and this big black guy took an axe to him. That's eventually what happened to him. It was a horrible scene. He didn't kill him. The guy fought back and eventually the other guy overpowered him and left. He didn't chop him to pieces, thank God. But see, you don't know. But see, God had blessed Hezekiah. He had healed him. And he was doing it for a reason, because he was giving this whole thing regarding the Assyria as an object lesson. Now, the thing of it is that when Isaiah asked him, he says, what have you showed him? And he says, all that is in my house. They've seen. There's nothing among my treasures I've not showed them. Now, Albert Barnes makes a point here, saying that Hezekiah knew who he is dealing with here. This was Isaiah. He's a prophet of God. He was well tested. And he felt that when Isaiah came, he had to tell him the truth. He went ahead and told him. Now, see, when you get in his dad Ahaz and you get others, they might have put off or lied or kind of danced around it. But see, Hezekiah had been receiving Isaiah all along. He was used to dealing with the man of God, known as a prophet, and you had to be square with him. You had to tell him the truth. That's the way you deal with a true prophet of God. You admit it and be done with it. So he went ahead and told him everything that he did. And this is where Hezekiah gets to know the truth, because Isaiah told him, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in your house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon, and nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come. And that, when you get to Jeremiah 20 and verse 5, Jeremiah, of course, warned the children of Judah. The captivity of the Jews in Babylon is when this happens. And it happened 120 years or so, according to researchers and the timetable. A long time for people to forget God. And in verse 20 of Jeremiah, verse 5, moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, all the labors thereof, all the precious things thereof, all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. Now see, 120 years later, after those envoys came, is when this happened. Now, if you get to 2 Chronicles 36, 17 through 21, you can read it there. And it says Babylon took it all, you know. Verse 17, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Now, that's what the Lord just gave them all. Now, this is Judah. That's supposed to be his people, but they had turned against him. They were doing idols. They were sacrificing their children to Baal. and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon, and they burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, burn all the palaces thereof with fire, destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and his sons till the reign of the kingdom of Persia. And to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years, 70 years. Now see, the lesson here is to the church and to the Christians. If God did this to his own people, make no mistake, this is a God that doesn't change. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. We need to make sure that we're where we need to be according to the New Testament, according to what the Lord wants with us. If we love him, we will keep his word. We will obey his word. We will walk in his truth. Make no mistake, there's no room today for pride any more than there was room for pride there. Now, yeah, we can be, you know, there's different kinds of pride, but when you get really uplifted, you cannot see. So when we talk about an ominous Babylon, an ominous warning here, 120 years. That's a long time. And there's a lesson there. God deals with the future. Now see, we're so carried away with what's going on now. You know, personally, we don't think it's going to last 120 years. Because there's so many things going on. But yet, the thing of it is God deals with the future. You know, see, you hear about time travel. God doesn't need time travel because time exists within him. He calls the end from the beginning. While we need to, you know, live our lives and it's short, God is beyond time as we know it. And this is the way God worked with Israel. This is the way God works with the church. And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. For all those trying to stop the gospel and going to stop everything, it's not going to stop until God says it's going to stop, and then the end shall come. And for all the Christians who think God wouldn't dare destroy America or judge the church, you're wrong, because Peter tells us judgment must first begin at the house of God. Then if we who are saved barely survive, woe were the sinners and the ungodly stand. Father, thank you for your word today. Bless your people when they hear it. Lord, undertake in their lives. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming of this word. Okay, Tower. And we will be at 103, part 103, next time. We're not far from chapter 40. You back?
Yes, I am. So yeah, it amazes me that people think they are above God and they don't have to answer to him. And I don't know, they're going to be in trouble one day. God is
a consuming fire.
Yeah.
They just don't understand that.
They're just sent a delusion because they love not the truth.
Yeah. He's a consuming fire. He never goes out. He's not like our forest fires. And he's not even like the sun. He's a consuming fire. You can't approach him unless you're one of his. We're going to have to get get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Whenever you do, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Keep your hope in the Lord and don't be distracted by what you hear going on in the news and in the world. He is our hope. We love you and we hope the best for you and we pray for you. Good night, everybody. Don't be discouraged.
Shalom, everybody. Don't forget to go by our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglynsmith.com. Until next time, be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.